Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
The year was 1979. The event, the second year of a crazy concoction called the Ironman Triathlon. 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles of cycling, and 26.2 miles of running. The year before, 15 people had started, and I think 12 had finished. And Lynn Lemaire came over in 1979 to become the first woman to give it a try. Lynn, how are you?
Good. How are you, Bob?
I am great. It was so exciting to have you at our banquet a couple weeks ago and to get back in touch with you. It's been years.
Well, I'm thrilled to have been involved.
Lynn, going back to 79, how'd you find out about the event, and what was the attraction for you?
Oh, man, those are big questions. The first one's actually pretty easy. I had a friend who I had gone to college with at UCLA, who had gone to grad school at the University of Hawaii, who sent me a clipping from the local paper about it. And she knew that I was interested. I'd been bike racing, and she knew that I was interested in that sort of thing. So I think she was just sending it to me to say, look what we do here. And I said, oh, gee, I want to do that. So,
did you have much swimming and running background?
I swam as an age grouper, and I was the American record holder for 25 miles. I had been on the national team for cycling. So,
2 out of 3.
2 out of 3, yeah. I looked at it as a sort of a long time trial for me, sandwiched in between a swim and a run.
When you came over there, and there was only 15 people in the race, were you surprised there was only 15 people in the race?
Well, that's what they'd advertised, and, you know, as far as I knew, it wasn't... I mean, you didn't have things like Triathlete magazine or Competitor magazine then. So, no, I wasn't surprised at all that there were only 15. It was actually kind of a nice sense of camaraderie.
Being the only woman, did you feel accepted by the group going into the race, or did you feel like they were looking at you like, what's this woman doing here?
I don't think it was a group where belonging was sort of important.
Yeah, really. You look at that group. You had Cowman. I mean, that's a pretty weird group.
Yeah, and they had Commander Collins had an orientation meeting at his home a few nights before the event, and the only thing that was a little unsettling to me was that there was another woman there whose name, if I recall, was Debbie Anderson.
Okay, I remember that name.
Who she was actually quite a good runner. She had finished high up in the Honolulu Marathon recently, and she seemed to be sort of a pet project of the nucleus that had done the first Ironman.
Oh, so basically they're behind her doing this race.
They were behind her doing it, and I thought, you know, that's fine. I didn't mind that so much, but what was kind of causing me a little bit of anxiety was that she was a good runner.
Right.
And, you know, you'd like to think that your strength came last so that you could, you know, your fantasy is to finish by catching somebody just at the end.
In the last
and not to be the one who's caught. Just, you know?
Not the one with the target on her back for 100 miles.
That's
for 26 miles off the bike.
The idea of doing this and then having to race into Kapiolani Park being chased by a good runner was giving me a little bit of food for thought.
So did she pull out before the race started or drop out sometime during the day?
No, they had planned to go to the race on a Saturday. This was in January of 79.
Right.
And it was really bad storms. It was real windy and rainy, and they couldn't get the lifeguard boats out of the marina. And at the time, this is over in Oahu.
Right.
And that was one of the things that they had stipulated to, is they had 2 or 3 lifeguard boats out watching the swimmers. And they canceled it on Saturday, but a lot of us were from the mainland. So the next day we showed up, and it was still pretty bad. But it was like, go now or forget about it.
Right.
So we just went ahead and went. And Debbie Anderson didn't feel strong in the swimming, so she was frightened of the rough water.
Exactly.
And, she seemed pretty nice. We met afterwards, and she seemed like a nice person. And I wish she had a chance to go, but I didn't mind not having to, you know, feel her breathing down my neck with like 3 miles to go.
Man, I know what she went through when we went over in 1980 to do the event. They on Saturday they said they moved the event to the channel, to Ala Moana Channel, because they had ABC that year, and ABC couldn't film it if the event moved from Saturday to Sunday. And we were standing on the Ned Overin, the mountain biker, and I were roommates at the time, and we were standing at the pre-race meeting on Friday, and the surf was, you know, 8 foot right there at Waikiki Rough Water Swim, and we're going to die.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to finish this thing.
It's not you don't worry so much about finishing as seeing where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Now, we're worried about finishing that. We're worried about getting through the waves and living.
Oh, I wasn't too worried about that. I was worried on the Waikiki Rough Water Swim. I was worried about they had said that if you didn't stay in the middle of the channel, if you stayed in the middle of the channel, the water was outbound, so you had to swim against the tide. And if you swam on the edge of the channel, you had to worry about the coral. So I was a little concerned about that, but I suppose lots of people do that Waikiki Rough Water Swim.
Yeah.
And now, of course, that's not a problem. Now
no.
You've got that beautiful clear water in Kona, so.
Yeah, oh, no, the swim now is
you know,
unbelievable.
Piece of cake.
Now, you won the event in 79, and tell us how the race went throughout the day. Was it just one of those perfect days?
Perfect days. It was rainy and puddles and things.
I mean, for you, though, it sounds like it was.
It was a charge. It was, you know, there were 15 people, and we got separated right away, so you didn't see a lot of people.
Long time trial.
And I had some friends who were connected to this friend of mine at the UH who were my, like, support crew.
That's right. Everybody had to have their own support
crew. Everybody had to have their own. And it was exhilarating. You know, I felt real good off the swim, and I started off on the bike. Now, the trouble for me with the bike was it was January, and at the time I lived in Boston. So
not much training.
Not much training. Some training, but not enough. And I was always a big gear pusher, so I went ahead and did what I do. And it actually was working for me. I think I was fourth or fifth out of the water. You know, I can't recall, but I was passing people on the bike. And when we got around to the Javi side, it had cleared up, and I was actually fairly close to catching the lead man,
right?
The lead athlete. And I can't remember what happened here, but I think you were allowed to take either of two routes from Javi back down to Waikiki. You could either go through the pineapple fields or down the main highway. My memory is.
I think there was two different ways to go. In 80, you had to go one way, but I bet in 79 you had an option.
Or maybe not. I can't, you know, my mind's a little addled at the moment, but. I was catching this fellow, and I started to cramp up just as we were, I mean, maybe 5 miles from the finish. It was, you know, it was like I pulled off, you know, massaged the cramp, got back on the bike, and got into the finish. And then, of course, in Sports Illustrated, I'm the only one who's sitting down on the job. There's
right.
A picture where one of my friends is giving me a leg massage because I had complained about the cramps.
Right.
and so he was trying to attend to that. But, no, then we took off on the run, and the run for me was, I was always kind of, you know, fresh, I'd be running probably 7.5 or 8 minute miles at the time. And so I just sort of started off on, and what happened was is I started to get out of Waikiki and out toward Kahala where there were some houses, and then actually out on the highway, there was people had heard on the news that I had chased down the lead cyclist.
Oh, so they thought you were leading.
Well, they it also drew to interest because I was the only woman.
Right.
So here was this woman who was had been leading or had been close to leading the race, and they were actually coming out of their houses to kind of cheer us along, and you know,
that's
and
great.
It was kind of cute, you know. There'd be like a guy watering. Can't imagine why he's watering, but I do remember two or three people watering their roses or something.
Right.
You know, and waving and saying, go, go, go.
Go get those guys.
Being very, yeah, that's right. Go get those guys. And then there was a very friendly fellow named Ian something who, he beat me. We were kind of leapfrogging each other, and he was really in bad shape. And I had some sympathetic feelings for him, but it also made me, in a sense, feel lucky that I wasn't, you know, I was just tired.
Sure.
I wasn't having any specific problems.
Right.
At that point. And, yeah, no, just doing the run. It was just, you know, the Honolulu Marathon course at the time. It's out along the highway again and back. But I do remember coming into the park and, you know, the same feeling of just floating on air that you get coming down Ali'i Drive. You got, at the time there, coming into Kapiolani Park, even without, you know, the crowds and, you know, the warm ocean breezes, you know. It was the same feeling. I did it again in 84.
I was going to say, so you did go back in 84.
In 84, I did it again. And it was the same kind of deliriously happy feeling that's probably just from having deprived yourself of you know, proper nutrients for the last 12 hours.
Were you surprised of where the event went from 79 to 84? I mean, really, most of the growth was between that period.
Yeah, I don't know if surprise is the right word. You know, when you like something and you're drawn to something, you don't understand why other people aren't drawn to it.
Right.
So I'm not sure that surprise is the right word. It's close to the right word. But, you know, here's something I was drawn to, and obviously there were 14 others who were drawn to it when I did it. And I was friends with John Howard, who was, I think John did it the next year.
Yep, he did. Well, actually, yeah, he did it in 80, and then he won it in 81.
Yeah, well, and it's the same kind of thing, you know. Okay, here's somebody who's, you know, soulmates of a sort that are drawn to this kind of thing. And, you know, I know that it's very popular. There's, you know, clearly more people don't want to do the Ironman than do, but there's, but still, it, you know.
Oh.
This lunatic fringe actually is fairly well populated.
There's a lot of us now.
Yeah, so I'm surprised in a sense, at the same time, kind of happy about it. It actually, triathlon has more appeal to the, you know, to sort of the grown up who's doing sports than cycling. And I had been involved in cycling, and I sort of saw the problems with cycling. And to me, triathlon has more appeal just because you get to cross train. If for nothing else, you don't get stale in one sport. I'll tell you what was different was, you know, when we did it, I mean, Cowman Shirk in 79 had come over for the Honolulu Marathon in December, and, He had just decided to stay for this thing, and he'd borrowed a bike from some guy's garage.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, it was a real kafunky kind of thing.
It was an adventure.
It was an adventure, exactly. It was a wonderful adventure, but it certainly wasn't something where you felt you were at a disadvantage if you didn't have a disc wheel.
Right.
You know, it was not something where you were competing so much with other people. And, you know, it had a different kind of an attitude about it. So, you know, to go back in 84 and suddenly just have everything just look so shiny and hot and latest stuff was... Well, it was, you know, I'm thinking, well, these guys aren't soulmates.
Well, and looking at it from that perspective, did you look at it in 84 and go, gosh, I sort of liked it better when it was just sort of a bunch of funky guys wearing big hats with horns on it? So.
No, I didn't really like it. I can't say that. I actually have a lot of admiration for the people that are taking it more seriously, and I fault myself for not taking it more seriously. So there's some admiration there. I think to some extent some of the people that take it real seriously overdo it.
Right.
I mean, you oftentimes hear people have negative comments about triathletes, and I think that to some extent that goes with sort of taking it too seriously. I mean, I was the other day, I saw, RAV4 with something that said triathlete on a license plate, and it had some kind of vanity plate around triathlon and 12 stickers about triathlons on the back, and I thought that was a little... I think you want a little bit seriously.
A little overkill.
But hey, this is something that's an obsession that somebody has, and I'm all for magnificent obsessions, and so more power to them. But you wouldn't have thought of doing that. I mean, you know, you might have gotten yourself locked up if you did that when I was doing it. In fact, I remember going to a couple of Christmas parties before the 79 event,
yeah.
and I'm going with to these parties with cyclists who are, you know, who get up at dawn and in the winter and put on all kinds of stuff and go out and ride 30, 40 miles before work, and they think I'm nuts.
Right.
You know, it's like, what?
Well, excuse me, what is the big difference?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That is fun.
So, I mean, I suppose... I suppose the Ironman itself has, maybe part of its appeal is that it's not so obvious that it's a good thing to do.
You know, what's funny is if you look back on it now, I mean, every year what you've done becomes more important. I mean, being the first woman to do the race, the first woman to win the race, you sort of set a standard. I mean, Paula Newby Fraser finishing 11th in 1988, that whole idea that the further the distance, the better a woman will do, that's really become true.
Well, I suppose it is. Maybe for me it doesn't... since I do things more like time trials, I'm better at competing with myself, so
right.
It's not the kind of thing that I spend a lot of time dwelling on. But, no, I suppose that there's some truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
Ann Trace is certainly a good example
yes.
of that.
Yes.
With the distance running, she's
exactly.
awesome.
Yeah. And when you look at it and you look how far... really, triathlon became one of the first sports where men and women were treated equally in terms of prize money and things along that line. The women in triathlon, Paula Newby Fraser and Heather Fuhrer, who won this year, some pretty good role models there and pretty good representatives of endurance athletics.
Yeah, I endorse that. Yeah, no, it's true. You, because I guess it's a new sport, it didn't have a chance to sort of have the sport and then the women's version
right.
of the sport.
It all started together.
Yeah, so that's a nice quirk of fate about it. Plus, it's certainly something that, that it it's well suited to short men, tall men, you know.
Yeah.
It's doesn't have the same don't have the same kinds of limitations, you know, physical or, you know, birthright limitations that you have in other sports.
Hey, it's just who can put in the hours, put in the time, and you can get good at it.
Yeah, and you can get what you want out of it.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the beauties about triathlon to me is in fact that it's not really very standardized. I mean, even a standardized distance isn't really a standardized distance because water's different, the conditions are different, and so on. So, in a sense, you always sort of are in that...
You're always adventuring, adventure element.
Not just adventuring, but you know whether you did well or not, regardless of whether the clock tells you you did well or you beat somebody.
Yeah.
When I set the time trial record for cycling, and that was 76.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in the endless summer or something. It was like the perfect athletic event. You know, your muscles were like, it was like riding the bike was like playing an instrument. You know, just everything was just so smooth and it felt so easy. And, you know, it was just, it was in some kind of a zone. And you know that, and you can get into that with triathlon.
You can.
Because you're allowed to. You know, because there's not other measures and you can kind of get into it, unless you're doing an ITU race where you have to draft and worry about that.
Yeah.
You know, get all wound up about that part. you know, you can really get into sort of the rhythm of all three of these sports, and, it's a very nice place to be.
Hey, Lynn, thanks so much for taking time.
Sure.
Strolling down triathlon memory lane.
I enjoyed it, Bob. I hope we have a chance to do it again.
Definitely do it again. Lynn LeMaire, the first woman to do the Ironman, the first woman to win the Ironman, and had an unbelievable day in 1979.